who's most needed help. I ask your attention to Psalm 118 and verses 22 and 23. Psalm 118 and verses 22 and 23. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Now this is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Now this is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. It might be some interest just to say how this word was, or a part of this word was given to me early Friday morning. I trust one's exercise doesn't stay on the day, or indeed of forthcoming days, but continually is the exercise of the Word of God with us. But sometime early Friday, this came to me in the darkness. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. All day Friday I waited for what was the Lord's doing. Then I waited all day Saturday and it was nothing. All my hope rose up. I can't explain to anybody how my hope rose up that we might hear of something which was the Lord's doing. And therefore we could say it is marvellous in our eyes. And the nearer the Lord's day came, the poorer I become. So much so that in the midst of the night season, last night, I vowed and declared I'd read a sermon. Because I had nothing, and I was exceedingly emptied out of anything and everything. But then I had to pray this, the Lord would keep his hand, my hand, from putting anything to his work. And having nothing else, and that's literally true, one has to venture upon these words. But the Lord has joined to it, this verse 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. And you that read your Bible will see, and it is recorded in the margin, there's a half a dozen places in the Word of God that speak about this foundation, this, in fact, about this very word. It's all in the New Testament, but there it is to remind us of the importance of it. The stone which the builders refused, and that stone is Christ. And as you, and really as I found these hymns, I believe, on Friday, and I looked at them last night and I thought I might as well throw them away for what sense of good they seem to my mind to be. But the last verse of the hymn is, what though the gates of hell withstood, yet must this building rise. 'Tis thine own work, almighty God, and wondrous in our eyes. The foolish builder, scribe and priest, rejected with disdain, yet on this rock the church shall rest, and envy rage in vain. Well, it has a general view, of course, The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. It has a general view, my friends. The church is built on a foundation that cannot give way and will not give way. If you look at the Ephesians, the reference to Ephesians 2, it speaks of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And I know little about building, but I know this, that if you was to have a building without a foundation, you would be most foolish. And I know this too, I think it is the practical way. When they are building houses, or where there is much brickwork to put up, they put the corners up first and build to them. My friends, help us a poor example. The Lord deliver us from looking for natural examples. But it's a poor example, really, because, my friends, we come back to this. The stone which the builders refused, on what ground are your stone? Is your religion and mine? It's a general word. The church is built on a foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I remember a dear minister quoting from that hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, and they were very sweet lines to me. If I could gather them together, perhaps I will in the course of time. Gates of hell shall never gainst this church prevail. That is God's own promise, and it cannot fail. The stone which the builders refuse. What then, dear friends, is where's your religion and mine? Is it on this stone? Again, we must look at the holy word of God for help, and there is no other better help than as the Spirit directs us. And in 1 Corinthians 3, we find this. He speaks of himself here for a moment. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. When the apostle said, I've laid the foundation, he did not remove for a moment the singular and sacred work of the Holy Ghost. He is the one that lays the foundation. What he has done, what the apostle means by this, is that having in this that to lay the foundation, he has preached the foundation. He has set it forth. He has in his writings and preachings laid the foundation, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's laid that before believers, before the church. He's only laid it there as far as he can, as far as preaching it is concerned. But if you've got a real religion, if I've got a real religion, my friends, it will have a beginning, and that is the foundation. And that is the work of the Spirit, the stone which the builders refuse. If you've got any comfort, if you've got some acknowledgement in your own spirit of an interest in Jesus, it is a saving interest, it's a comfortable hope, and it is built upon this foundation. It rests upon it, and gates of hell shall never against this church prevail. That is God's own promise, and it shall not fail, and it cannot fail. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. What a marvellous work it is. What a wondrous work it is. And what a sure work it is. And it's laid in the soul. And the Lord will put it there. All my hope on Christ is stayed. There's a hymn that says this: on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My friends, it's so needful is this foundation. That same hymn, 1106, has got a line in it: when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my strength and stay. My friends, there will come a time when it will all give way, except this foundation. Oh, you think of the vast numbers, and may we never be amongst them, that have a religion and speak of spiritual things, but have no true foundation. My friends, what a solemn thing it is, but it's true. And there's thousands of foolish builders, we might call them. The Lord keep us from being amongst them. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. But go back into your old path. Go back into your unregenerate ways. You refused this, and so did I. As the prophet wrote in the 53rd of Isaiah, there was no form nor comeliness, and we did not desire him. What a mercy, my friends, if you've got a real religion, you've got a real foundation, and God begun it. He never asked you, and he doesn't need your hand to build this foundation. He doesn't need your hand in any manner or way. It's his work and his work alone. Wonderful thing, you know, if you can, as it were, stand and look at that work of grace, not in others. Blessed be God when you can see it in others, but blessed be God when it's revealed within you, and you can look at the work and say, this is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. My friends, wonderful. You'll bless God for eternity, let alone in this time state. This is the Lord's doing. Well, my friends, may we have such a religion as that, because it will stand every storm. And the greatest of storms that it will stand is the storm of death. And as you and I face each other on this last Sunday of the year, my friends, it's a strong reminder that we're one year nearer to the end of our journey. Oh, and then the poet's words come again. In that dread moment, oh, to hide. Where are you going to hide? Well, in this person who is the stone which the builders refused, the headstone. And you'll find a refuge there if you've got grace. And you'll need a hiding place there. My friends, and it will be a hiding place which is sufficient. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storms of life are past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. It's very solemn, my friends. We must not take up any to offend. We must not speak against these things which are so evident in the world. It's an offence now to criticise another's religion. It is so, and you can indeed be brought into problems over it, my friends, but there's only one real religion. There's only one real church, and that's the Church of Christ. And if you and I are a member of that church, all other religions, all other titles, denominations, whatever you call them, are resting short. This, the stone which the builders refused, has become the headstone of the corner. And by nature, we all do so. by nature we more or less say, we'll not have this man to reign over us. What is to my friends in Christ Jesus to a dead soul? Nothing. What is there in a vain professor but there's something of the letter there? There's something of tradition. And there's been such a lot of tradition, hasn't there, in the last few days? The singing of his praises. His name has been on the lips of sinner and saint. But there's an enormous amount of tradition. My friends, the Lord deliver us from wrong tradition. And resting upon tradition also. But this blessed person is the foundation stone, the cornerstone of the church, and will be and ever shall be and must be the cornerstone and strength and foundation of real religion. My friends, if you and I have a good work, and that's the gracious work of the Holy Spirit, it will center on this person. If you've been convinced of sin and grown unto the knowledge of it, and mourn because of it and weep because of it, and are brought to the throne of grace to confess it, my friends, any relief, any comfort, any hope that may arise from a gracious Holy Spirit's work in your soul, it will arise from this foundation and nothing else. It's very remarkable, you know. We spoke in prayer about that Passover lamb, my friends, but deliverance rested on that. Deliverance rested on it. And it was the Lord's doing. He had sent various other plagues upon Egypt, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart. He resisted again those words of Moses. There were times when he did, as it were, begin to see that it was time to let those Israelites go, but then he hardened his heart again. The plagues that were sent, and whatever they were, and one of them, it was said the finger of God was seen in it, but that didn't alter him. Because his heart was hardened. But that last visit of God was a visit of mercy for Israel and a visit of judgment upon Egypt. And that was the deliverance. My friends, if you are in the bondage of sin, if you're under Satan's captivity, if you're tempted of the devil, you might be one that has known better days in your soul, or you might be one of those who is waiting for the blessing. He'll show you this foundation, and he'll show you this blood which was shed for many, and that precious blood, as it's applied, will bring deliverance from the oppressor. And from all sin and from iniquity, the stone which the builders refused. We read on Christmas morning, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They refused him. Why did they refuse him? When he was so obvious the Son of God, because their eyes were hardened, hearts were hardened, and their eyes were closed. They were left, my friends, they were left. Oh, think about it. If you've any hope in the mercy of God, bless God, you wasn't left as those Jews of old were. Their eyes were holden, their hearts were hard, and their ears were deaf, and their soul was dead. My friends, and that's why you could write. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's why it is written here, the stone which the builders refused. Oh, think of all those religious people the high priest, that he was from descendancy from Aaron. Think of the Levites, whose work it was in the temple to assist the priests. Think of all those scribes and Pharisees. Think of those Sadducees. Oh, a multitude of religious people. And they refused this headstone. But think of Mary Magdalene. Think of dear Peter. Think of the woman in the Gospel of Luke who washed the feet of Christ with her tears. Think of those disciples of Jesus Christ. 11 of them were believers in him. Think of those. Think of Saul of Tarsus for a moment. Think of David with all his sin and iniquity. And you think, my friends, of the greatest of sinners. And may it be that it's the witness of your own soul that you stand here in this place. And bless God if you've not refused this headstone. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. And he will be so in the spiritual experience of every child of God. The world will be the world, and it will sink in utter distress and despair one day into the pit forever and ever. But there is a people, my friends, whose spiritual life and whose teaching and the teaching of the Spirit in their soul and their knowledge of salvation and their hope for heaven rests upon this headstone of the corner. And then they will say, it is the Lord's doing. It isn't theirs. There's no taking up with Jesus Christ, my friends. It's not within us to do so. We haven't got a nature that is able to take up with Jesus Christ. We don't make our response to those sorts of exercises of men. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Wonderful mercy, my friends, if you are signaled out, separated by sovereign grace, called by electing love, brought to be a poor and needy soul, brought to cry out for mercy as did the publican in the Gospel of Luke. My friends, and blessed be God, if indeed it is so, that you can look to that work and say that Christ is first, and Christ is last, and Christ is all and in all. There is another word which I would just remind you of, and it's amongst those words that we should read sometime concerning this foundation stone. Ye also, this is the Apostle Peter writing to the strangers. Well, we go back a word. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Oh, how solemn, my friends, are those. The day will come, you know, that he who has been refused will be their judge. What great importance lies in those words, "What think ye of Christ?" My friends, what importance lay, what great importance lay in those words. Because, as I've often said to you, what you would answer to the question will indeed reveal whether there is grace in your soul. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doings. Good to have a work, my friends, when, like those two gracious people in the book of Judges, Manoah and his wife, good to have a work which they didn't put a hand to. The angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. Good to have such a work. That's not the looking on in complacency. That's not the looking on in the expression of many of the world. Whatever will be, will be. My friends, it's a gracious looking on. It's a wondrous looking on. It's as Christ is revealed as the way, the truth, and the life. It is as hope and blessing and mercy rests upon him. Oh, there's a looking on there. This is the Lord's doing. My friends, from first to last, God the Father chose a people in eternity past. The Lord Jesus Christ took those, took that people as his people. And for their sins, he entered into this world. It's very true, my friends, but it's exceedingly solemn. How many in the last few days have heard the truth, whether it's through the hymns or the carols that have sung or the scripture readings that have been read? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ took upon himself the salvation of his people and entered this world as a child, born of a woman, born under the law, laid in a manger. They all know that. They all know about this business of being laid in a manger. They all know this. My friends, how these things are accompanied with various carols and so on. But oh, blessed be God, my friends, when you can see that amongst that people, a number that no man could number, is your unworthy name. The stone which the builders refuse has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And then by the blessed Spirit of truth, speaking life into your dead soul, quickening you into life, bringing to you the hopelessness of what it is to be dead in trespasses and sins, conscious now that your being itself is the subjects of sin, your walk, your pathway, your thought, everything, my friends, concerning the natural man is sin. The best intentions are dyed with sin. Your worship of the name of Jesus is dyed with sin. Your taking up of a profession, my friends, sin comes into it. Would you believe it? But it does. But oh, this work, this is the Lord's doing. Wonderful, my friends, that you might be able to trace. The dear man Moses said, "Thou shalt remember all the way in which the Lord thy God hath led thee." He didn't say, "What I've done." He didn't say, "Well, when I took up the position and place to bring Israel out of Goshen. He didn't say the steps that we went towards the Red Sea. It was the Lord's work that he brought before Israel. My friends, may the Holy Spirit bring the Lord's work before you. This is the Lord's doing. Oh, if you can trace the Spirit of truth, you don't remember when you was born into this world. You're not capable. The mental abilities that are in a child is not developed sufficient to remember the day of one's birth. But I do believe, my friends, a child of God knows today, or those approaching times, or those exercises within the Spirit, when the Lord put his hand to what is his work. This is the Lord's doing. It is wonderful, my friends, but it's his doing. And it takes away all responsibility of man to do anything towards his own salvation. This is the Lord's doing, in the provision of grace, of life in the soul. The text on Christmas morning, for your interest who wasn't here, was this: that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. My friends, and left to themselves, they'd walk on in darkness. But blessed be God, there is a people whose shall be sweetly and sacredly taught of the Spirit. What was it said about Jesus? In him was life, and that life was the light of men. This is the Lord's doing. Oh, have you ever wondered at his goodness? Have you ever stood and had a view of his sovereignty? Have you ever wondered why it should be so, when there's plenty of better people that he has passed by? And as the old pastor at the Dicker used to say, there was better people in hell than him. This is the Lord's doing. Oh, my friends, to cry out after Christ, to seek after him, when you've got a nature that doesn't want him, when you've got a nature that would refute the very knowledge of being a sinner, and would indeed turn from such things to other things which are more interesting to the flesh. This is the Lord's doing. Oh, my friends, the stamp of divine sovereignty is upon real religion, the authority. It was once explained very simply to us years ago. If you take a banknote, you know, there is an inscription on it. There is a signature on it. But there's also a promise on it. And if you look at your banknotes tomorrow, it says, "I promise to pay the bearer." And the signature on the bottom is the chief cashier of the Bank of England. And it's a promise that is kept. My friends, have you such a signature? Have you such an authority on your religion? This is the Lord's doing. Why was I made? To hear his voice and enter Wilder's room, while thousands make that wretched choice and rather starve than come. Solemn, my friends, but oh, how glorious it is. How wondrous it is. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. I want to go back a little. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. And I want to look at it like this. The Lord help us to do so. What he indeed intends to do with his people. They're not all raised up for this or that position and place. but not all preachers or deacons or anything else in the Church of God. Humble walkers, these are dear in Jesus' eyes. But according to his divine appointments, my friends, he raises some up. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. I'm not taking this away from Christ, not for a second, my friends, but the Lord uses and raises up whom he will. I thought about those words in the second of Ephesians, where he speaks of a foundation of the gospel, not of the gospel in its redeeming love and blood, but this, but are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And who would have thought, my friends, in the order of things, that God in his divine sovereignty had a work for Saul of Tarsus to do, him that was trying to overthrow the work of God. But then when you look, as you can read in, you can read about his evil heart, you can read about his evil ways and the hatred he had to Christ and his people, and oh, how hard was his heart that he could hale men and women to prison and to death. And yet, you know, in the most wonderful way, God had a work for him to do. The most unlikely, the most indeed unexpected, because when he came to walk with the disciples, they wouldn't have anything to do with him. He said himself, again referring to the word of God as the best example, and indeed where the truth is to be realised. If you look at Galatians chapter 1, there again he puts all the honour and all the glory upon his God, but when it pleased God, not man, when I thought, well, I'll take my lot with this people, or I'll change camps, as it were, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, and so on. And then he comes down to the end of that first chapter, and he said, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. The stone which the builders refused. Oh, my friends, how in the history of the Church of Christ has the most unusual characters been raised up into the church to preach Christ? I've always said that the preaching of the gospel must surely be preached by sinners saved by grace. Angels can't preach it, because they've never experienced it. The stone which the builders refused. My friends, what a remarkable, but yet an evidence of divine sovereignty, even in those that hold places in the Church of Christ. They have to wonder why it was and how it came to be. I remember when I had to disclose the exercise of the ministry to my own father, and the first thing he said it was, I didn't think it was you, I thought it was your brother. But nevertheless, my friends, there is the truth. But there again, the effect of that grace is not to lift up. The effect of that grace is not to make the person proud. The effect of that grace is in reverse, really, in absolute opposite. Because this same Pharisee that we spoke about there, Saul of Tarsus, this same hater of the gospel and persecutor of the people of God, the effect of that grace, and it was very much evident was this unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, the stone which the builders refused. I wonder how many of the children of God who've made a profession would have to say, I never thought I'd be found there. I never thought the day would come when I stand before a church and give a testimony to the work of grace. Or I could well understand this one or that one, because they are so godly in their walk and in their pathway and in what they talk about and in their actions. But well, for me, I don't think it's for me. And now I look back and wonder at it and have to say, this is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. My friends, if it isn't, it's all wrong. But there is then also a warning here. In the 8th chapter of the Acts, we find a man who believed and was baptized. His name was Simon. His name was Simon. My friends, he wasn't one of those whom God had chosen. Why wasn't he? What was the evidence? His heart wasn't right. That was what was evident. And it took a gracious apostle to discern that. But there again, my friends, his own way and pathway revealed it, when he would have purchased, if he could have done, the gift of the laying on of hands. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Oh, you go back, my friends, read about these dear old saints of God whom the Lord raised up to preach the gospel. Remember Francis Coville, the West Street pastor, who had a disability, a dreadful disability. What would you think a preacher wants? Well, he wants a fluent tongue, as it were. He wants to be able to speak and the words flow. And the poor man was a stammerer. Stammer, you couldn't understand what he said when he worked. Couldn't understand what he was talking about because he stammered so much. My friends, he was one of those who God raised up as a preacher of righteousness, whose ministry was well blessed and owned by the Spirit to the good of the Church of Christ. And if it is what I hear is right or what I read is right, when he stood in a pulpit, all that stammering disappeared. And he opened his mouth to preach, and the Lord removed his disability. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Oh, my friends, what a wonderful mercy these words are written, not only concerning the person of the head of the church, but also of those who are of the church. Those whom the Lord has blessed with grace, or will bless with grace. Oh, those, you know, you'll find many a one who will say, well, we weren't surprised, you know, when we heard this or we heard that. But then there are others, my friends, you'll have to say, what a wonderful work of grace. They were brought out of the world. They were brought into the fellowship of the gospel and into the ways of God. But my friends, it must be also said, whether you're brought up to go to chapel or not, every one of them is a brand plucked from the fire. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Amen. God willing, there's a prayer meeting next Wednesday. And next Lord's Day, there's a prayer meeting in the morning and a preaching service at night. So we close with hymn 352. The moon and stars shall lose their light, the sun shall sink in endless night, both heaven and earth shall pass away, and the works of nature all decay. But they that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see the danger overpass and every storm, and live at last. Hymn 352.
Thank you.
for the purposes of thy grace to be seen. Oh, bring this to the light, Lord, we pray, and that we might then be able to say, this is the Lord's doing, and wonderful in our eyes. Oh, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy goodness and for thy mercy's sake. Oh, pardon what's been said amiss, but do bless thine own word. Lord, be with us now and take us home in peace and safety. Abide with us, Lord, bring us together tonight, and may thy spirit again be in the midst. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and always. Amen.